Good afternoon. This is a podcast runs through it. I'm Nelson King alongside Dixie Hart. Hi, Dixie.
Hey, Nelson.
We're coming to you from the environs of Livingston, and I think you all know what that means. And we're going to be talking about the candidates and the offices for statewide offices in Montana. We think this is probably one of the more important things we're going to do for this election because we really do want all Montanans to vote for all of the statewide offices and in turn the complete list of candidates. We'll get to that in a minute. Because we're reviewing all of the offices, statewide offices and the federal offices, and which brings up about, I want to say, 10, at least 10 candidates, we decided to bring this sequence in four parts, four episodes. And so it's Montana 2020 general elections, part one through four. Part one will cover the Secretary of State and the Security and Insurance Commissioner, otherwise known as the Auditor. Part two will be the Attorney General and the Governor, which is always teamed with the Lieutenant Governor. Part three will be the Public Service Commissioner for District 3, which is the Park County, Livingston area, as well as other parts, with the U.S. House of Representatives. And then part four will be the Superintendent of Public Instruction and, of course, the election of the U.S. Senator. We really did want to have complete, I'm going to call them thumbnails, but they wind up being a little more inclusive than that, but in four parts. So part one, two, three, and four, covering the general election here in Montana. We think it's very important that people understand the breadth of offices in the state of Montana and what they do, not in great detail, but so you understand that, who's running and what they stand for, and the fact that when you go in to vote, you will have enough information so you won't do what I've done sometimes, which is, oh gosh, I don't know anything about that person, or I don't even know what they do, so I guess I won't vote. No, you should know enough to know what the office is, who they are, and vote for every single one of these offices on this general ticket in the state. And those are probably our chief goals here, that we really do want people to turn out and vote in informed way. Dixie, you want to add to that a little bit?
Well, I think that pretty much says it, Nelson. We just want to make sure that when people get to the point where they're filling out their ballot, that they are able to make an informed choice.
Now, when we come to talking about the candidates, I want to make it very clear. Okay, we're a podcast runs through it. We're a group of progressive voters. We look at politics from that angle. And in this particular election, we are not going to shy away from that. We come at this from the angle that the United States and Montana are besieged by three of the worst crises that this country has seen in maybe 100 years. Of course, the coronavirus, the economic crisis, and now the, I guess you could call it the racism / police crisis, which is pretty hot right now. And that these are big problems, and big problems have to be solved in part by government. So we are in a position where we believe at this particular election in definitely need to elect people who want to use government to solve big problems. And if you don't believe in that, we probably won't solve the big problems. We also are not going to be taking a strict, well, I guess you could call it neutrality on these candidates. This election is, you're going to hear this 1,000 times, and it's true, the most important election of our lifetimes. That's usually the kind of blarney you hear around every election, but I don't think that many people will take exception to it this time. This will be one of the most important elections of our lifetimes. And taking a stance and putting out the information that you have, whether it's good for a candidate or not, is very important. People do need to make informed decisions. And I think this maybe goes without saying, but after you've seen what happened in Portland, is there any question left that this election will decide the future of our democracy? And that's no hyperbole.
Exactly. And I think people And most people who are paying attention are probably aware of that. And, you know, I think one thing about the situation in Montana is there is an exceptional group of Democratic candidates. I mean, the distinction with this group of Democratic candidates is that these are people who want to use the tools of government to make our lives better. And they know how to do that. They have the experience and the ideas, and they know how to do that. As opposed to people on the opposite side and some of the candidates who have made statements to the effect of, yeah, I want to go to Washington so I can burn the place down or, you know, whatever. I mean,
well, you're talking about Republicans who say they want to destroy the agency that they're working for.
Exactly. Exactly.
And is that the right attitude to have in this time of crises?
Precisely. Precisely. We are going to need the people who have the experience and the knowledge and the will to jump in on day one and help pull us out of this deep hole that we are going to be in, not just in Montana, but in the whole country.
We also have having studied the backgrounds of all of these candidates, it's very, very stark contrast. Virtually all of the Republican candidates this time, and I think I can say this quite fairly, have bought their way into the office. In other words, used their considerable personal resources. And this extends not just for the governor and senator and so forth, but into some of the other state offices as well. And as such, these are people who recognize their own money above what they are doing for the public. And time again, you will see them with that perspective, if not some other kind of personal agenda.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And what we have basically in this election is we have an exceptional group of Democratic candidates with experience, dedication, and intelligence. And these are people who want to do the job, not just occupy it, versus a bunch of job-hopping, anti-science, agenda-driven, Trump-hugging ideologues who are more interested in serving their own personal agendas and taking away your civil liberties and rights than solving the critical problems our state and country are going to be facing.
Dixie just made that up.
Is that too
no,
strong?
No, she didn't. I think we all feel, it just indicates we feel very strongly about this, and we think that this review of candidates in their offices, it will be important for individuals to make decisions. You need to know some things about these candidates, good and bad. And this election just cries out for it. We have to follow through on it.
And it is going to determine the future of our state in a huge way.
Yes. So, I mean, obviously, vote the entire list and know who you're voting for. Be an informed voter. So with that having been said, and I, to a certain extent, got off our chest, we will proceed with the description of the various state offices. And with each one, we're going to give you a very thumbnail sketch of what the job does, what's expected of the office, and then the two candidates that are running for it. And Dixie and I will sort of pitch in our opinions, but also we mainly want to give you the information as we have it. I guess you could say the facts, but at least enough basic information to make up your mind about who are these people and why would I vote for them. And with that, we'll begin. Now, the first office that we're going to talk about will be the Secretary of State, which I think most people associate, if they know anything about the Secretary of State, is they associate it with elections, which obviously is appropriate for this time because the method of voting, the type of voting we do, is in fact determined as a combination between the Secretary of the State and the clerks of the counties. Dixie, you might want to emphasize a little bit there that the counties do have a big role in setting up our election processes.
The clerks and recorders in Montana counties are responsible for the actual physical carrying out of the elections, collection and counting the votes.
There's a give and take between the election and government services part of the Secretary of State's job and the various clerks of the counties. Okay. But that's not all that the Secretary of State does. They are also in charge of administrative rules services. Sounds like a fancy name, which in a way, really all it is they are filing rule notices, filing things that the legislature does, publishing a state register, taking care of administrating the rules of Montana and updating everything. It's a bookkeeping job, basically, but it's a very important one for the operation of state government. They also have the business services division, which many people probably have had contact with. If you want to start a club or a business, you have to file with the Secretary of State. And the Secretary of State is in charge of keeping all of the records and, to a certain extent, monitoring the behavior, if you want to put it, of sticking with the Uniform Code, Commercial Code, and Federal Safety Security Act. This is part of the Secretary of State's job. Okay. They are also in charge of certification and notaries, which means that licenses and notary statements and all this sort of thing are monitored and quality checked, etc., by the Secretary of State. And that's also a little known, but can be a very important job. And finally, the Secretary of State sits on the land board. And you're going to hear us mention the land board a lot, because it's an important office. Dixie, wouldn't you explain a little bit about it?
Well, the land board is, it's also called the Land Commission. It's made up of the five statewide offices. So it's the governor, attorney general, secretary of state, commissioner of insurance and securities, or the auditor, and the superintendent of public instruction. And they oversee state trust lands, which are lands that were designated to support essential public institutions such as schools. So they basically oversee the sale and lease and management of the state trust lands. And a key thing to remember here is that they also manage the sale and lease of timber, mineral, and surface resources.
So, in short, the Land Commission, or the Land Board, as it's often called, is responsible for managing public lands, which in Montana is a lot. The state actually controls a lot of land. And from that land, all of the resources and incomes and fees and so forth are the responsibility of that board. Historically, it's almost always been a struggle between those who want to conserve public lands more or less intact, and those who want to use public lands. By that I mean extract oil or cut timber or whatever, mining interests and so forth. And there has almost always been a give and take between those two poles. And in recent years, it's been mainly the Republicans on the side of developing public lands and the Democrats on the side of conserving public lands. And I think you'll see that theme crop up. And every time we talk about one of these statewide offices, you're going to hear about their position on the land board and the position those candidates take to the land board. So it's important to recognize that. So in a nutshell, that's the Secretary of State. It has five major jobs, and the ones that are most obvious to us are the one where they deal with voting, but it's not the only thing they do. So that having been said, let's move on to the candidates. We're talking about two candidates, the Republican, Christy Jacobson, and the Democrat, Bryce Bennett. First, the thumbnail of Christy Jacobson. She is currently the Deputy Secretary of State and is running for this position as the first time that she'll hold a statewide public office. She was born here in Montana, has a political science degree from Carroll College and a public administration degree from the University of Montana. And she's been working in the public sector primarily for about 20 years. And in the last 3 years, she's, of course, been working in the Secretary of State's office. Her particular job has been dealing with cleaning up, I guess you could say, cleaning up the records, which contain a lot of business filing errors and that kind of thing. So she's, I guess you could characterize her as a sort of nuts and bolts person when it comes to this office of Secretary of State. But I think it's important to emphasize that as a candidate, she represents, as clearly as you can, I think, and as straightforward as you can, the Republican values for this kind of job. She is most interested in, reading from the literature, I think she's, you can tell from what she's talking about. For example, she wants to replace the 20-year-old election system, right? She was, along with the current Secretary of State, trying to have the system replaced before this election. She will continue to try to do that, and it may or may not be a good thing to do. It depends on a lot of factors.
I think both candidates, and in general, anyone that works with the Montana voting system, all agree that it does need to be updated. It's, I think the difference is how to go about doing that.
Yeah, and how fast, and what the timing should be.
Right, right.
We don't want a system like they... I'm using the word system loosely, the one they tried to put in Georgia before the primary.
Yeah, I think what you're talking about is the system that Corey Stapleton, the current Secretary of State, had made inked a $2 million no-bid contract with a company called BPRO from South Dakota to install a new voting system in Montana. And I think that was in February of 2019 that he signed the contract. And then in June of last year, of 2019, the Association of Clerks and Recorders sent Stapleton a letter expressing their grave concern about the time frame that was left to replace the entire system by the general elections. And as a result, of course, the system wasn't installed and Stapleton had to back down. But I think we kind of dodged a bullet there, and I'm grateful to the clerks and recorders for staying on top of that.
So the updating of an election voting system, the electronic component of it, is kind of part of the bigger picture, okay, because the state's office, while it doesn't administer directly the voting in individual counties, it does set the tone, okay?
Right, and they are in charge of the system, of the actual physical system itself, in the compiling of the entire vote.
And they collate the results. They're the ones who bring together all of the results from all over the state and put it up on their website and so forth. So there are three words that come to mind when I think of this. It's, okay, is your system safer?
Right.
Easier?
Yep.
And secure. Now, what we mean by that, safer, of course, these days is, do you have to put up with being exposed to COVID-19, to the coronavirus, in order to vote? Which gets down to what I'm sure most people have heard about, the controversy, so to speak, over mail-in ballot versus voting in place or voting in a polling booth. That slides over into the easier part. You know, is your goal to make voting easier or in some way to restrict it?
Sort of like if you say you support voter ID. Voter ID, as we know, is code for voter suppression, actually.
Yeah. And so anyway, with Christy Jacobs' point of view, her view is that she opposes automatic online voter registration because her argument is it's the gateway to illegal immigrants voting.
Which, as far as I can remember, has never been a problem in Montana.
She's also wants to protect the right of voters who like vote in person at the polls. And I don't think there's a lot of controversy about that.
No,
you just continue pretty much what we're doing. When you talk, you know, you'll go into some of the other aspects of voting, but anyway, she's also, as I think almost any Republican is going to say, she's a an all for economic growth and business development. And that's mainly her position on the land board. She says, as a member of the land board, I will support all efforts to responsibly develop our natural resources and reduce bureaucracy. And the key words there will be develop our natural resources, because the point of view right. she's bringing to it is that that is land that should be exploited to make money for the state now to be used on the schools.
Right.
And the right. Democrats' point of view is almost always, yeah, that's okay as far as it goes, but the primary goal here is conservation of the land and keeping it as a resource for all Montanans.
Right. Right. And that doesn't mean that you don't do leasing and you don't do some sales and some trades, but it's that you have a long-term view of how best to gain that revenue from the land and while you're still preserving it for the future. So it's a sustainable management.
So in the case of talking about Christy Jacobson, you have, I would say personally, a relatively traditional, modern Trump-style Republican. She's going right. to go along with voter suppression wherever it's convenient. She wants to have state control of the, how shall we say it, timing and presentation of the voting. She wants to sit on the land board as a conservative, and that's in the sense of a developer, primarily. Anything else you want to add to that?
Another thing that she says she wants to eliminate same-day voter registration, which is, yeah, I mean, that's something that I think a lot of first-time voters or, you know, even voters who have let their registration lapse or have moved, it is a convenience to allow people to register on the same day that they vote. So I think, there's another voter suppression thing. And another thing that I find kind of interesting is that she refers to herself as an executive. She's not a politician. She's an executive. And again, folks, that goes back to, I think we really need people who are politicians. If you're wanting to work for the government and hold an elected office, you are, by definition, a politician. And another thing that she says is she promises not to job hop. What do you think that means, Nelson?
I shouldn't laugh, because many politicians are going to say that. And then, of course, when the opportunity comes, they do what they think they want to do. But with this year, I think we have to say that quite a few of the Republicans are not saying that, because they are aiming at a higher office.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, and I think in this situation, if you contrast that with Bryce, who actually has such a vision for what the Secretary of State position can be, that, I mean, he's on record saying that, he would hope to be able to hold the office for more than one term.
So yeah, he's looking at it in terms of not how many years am I going to have to wait before I can run for a bigger office. He's saying I need 4 years or 8 years to do the job I want to do in this particular office.
Right.
Big difference in attitude.
Big difference.
So with that, why don't you give us a thumbnail on Bryce Bennett?
Before I get started on this, I'd just like to say that we were fortunate to do an interview with him. That's episode 13 at A Podcast Runs Through It. So here's Bryce in his own words from his interview, talking about voting and business and his thoughts about the land board.
I just believe that our democracy is strongest when more people are able to participate and more people are voting. And I think that we need a Secretary of State that, in their process of overseeing our democracy, will be a champion for voters, somebody that will help will help Montanans from rural areas and urban areas, from east and west and everywhere in between, to get registered, to get voting, and to have their voice heard. I mean, there's other really important things that the office does. I mean, I think that's the one that brought me to this office in the first place, but they oversee business services. So if you're a small business, they're the ones that can make sure that you're not wading through a bunch of red tape and bureaucracy to do your filings to either start up a business or maintain it on an annual basis. And I think there's a lot of improvement to be done on that part, and I can talk about that more in detail. You know, in addition, one of the other major aspects of this office, as well as a number of others that are statewide offices in Montana, is that it has a seat on the land board. Mm. And the land board oversees how we use, you know, millions of acres of our public lands and, you know, whether they're accessible to the public. And I think that we've got a land board right now which has been focused on denying access and standing up with the folks who want to put up gates and barbed wire to block folks like us out. So I think that there's a lot of change that needs to happen in this office. And I think the background that I bring and the work that I've done in the legislature makes me a good fit.
So as you can tell, he has a very good understanding of what the position is, and he will use his experience and ideas to make the office function better for the people of Montana.
Yeah, and I think now that we're in the, you know, the voting time of the year and in a very, very important election, we really do appreciate what a Secretary of State means and what they can do. And I think, you know, I'm confident that the coming elections too, 24 and so forth, are going to be very important. And having a Secretary of State who is actually there to make it work for the people is important. It's not just one of those side issues or side, you know, offices that we can kind of neglect or forget.
Right, right. And he will bring, remember, folks, 10 years of legislative experience into the position of Secretary of State. So with that, here's some background information on Bryce Bennett. He was born in Hysham and raised in Billings in Missoula. And he graduated from the University of Montana in 2007. In his political background, he was first elected to the Montana House in 2010, and he served four terms in the House. And during one of those terms, he was actually the minority whip. And then in 2018, he was elected to the Montana Senate, where he's finishing that term right now. So with Bryce, you have someone, again, who's experienced. He has 10 years of legislative experience that he would bring to the position.
Just briefly, let me interject that he comes from what we call the class of 2019, which was the last legislative session. And that was an exceptional group of Democratic legislators. They got a lot of work done. They got a number of bills passed, primarily by working on both sides of the aisle.
Exactly.
Very energetic and quite gifted bunch of politicians. And he is one of the members of that class.
Yeah, and so some of his accomplishments is he helped push through the Disclose Act, which basically means that if you're running for political office in Montana, you have to disclose who your donors are within 60 days of the election. And that bill was brought up in response to Citizens United. So that was a huge accomplishment in Montana. And he also helped streamline the absentee ballot system, vote by mail system, which in Montana for years, you had to apply for an absentee ballot. You had to have a reason, normally like a medical reason, in order to get one. And then you had to reapply every election cycle. And now we have a no excuse absentee ballot. Anyone can file for one, and you will receive the absentee ballots until such time as you say you no longer want to. So that was huge. That made a huge difference in Montana. And he's basically, you know, most of his legislative experience has been focused on making voting easier and safer and more secure. The, you know, just the kind of things that you would really like to see in a Secretary of State. And, you know, this guy's actually has a record of that.
Yeah, I think this is maybe the crux of the whole Secretary of State issue, as far as most voters should be concerned. I mean, if you're voting for the Republican, you are voting for people who don't want certain people to vote, whether it be Indians or liberals or anybody else. All right. And if you're voting for the Democrats, you are voting for somebody who wants everybody to vote as easily and safely as possible.
Right. Well, and he's got some really interesting ideas, too. Like, he would really like to engage the Montana National Guard in helping to secure our voting system so that it can't be hacked, which is a very interesting idea. And also automatic voter registration. You know, we've been talking about trying to get that passed to Montana for a very long time. And he's absolutely all in favor of that. And of course, Christy Jacobson is not. And
that's a very clear dividing line. I mean, every Republican is going to say, yep, that's what we stand for. And the Democrats are going to say, yep, that's what we stand for.
Right. Well, yeah, but you know, the mail-in ballot situation, which, you know, basically, we had a mail-in ballot for our primary this year, and it went really well. There was, a lot of participation. The numbers were good. They weren't as good as I had hoped they'd be, but there was no fraud. There were no problems, and yet the Republicans are always absolutely opposed to mail-in ballots. And in fact, I don't know if you remember when Brian Zinke was nominated to be the Secretary of Interior by Trump. And the legislature was working on having a mail ballot election to replace Zinke. And at the time, the Montana GOP chairman, who was Jeff Essman, sent an emergency chairman's report out to the members of the Republican Party. And I'll just read what he said. He said, "The long-term viability of our Republican Party are in danger if Zinke's replacement is chosen by mail." And then he added, "While I believe it has been introduced on behalf of many county commissioners who wish to reduce the fiscal impact to their county budgets of the special election to replace Congressman Zinke, the bill will have a long-term negative impact to the future election prospects of Republicans at all levels in Montana." So, I mean, he just said the quiet part out loud.
Yeah, which Trump himself did not too long ago, basically. Yeah,
yeah.
Thing, you know.
Yeah, Trump said that Republicans would never be elected again if it was easier to vote.
That is your separation in a nutshell.
There you go. There you go. But, you know, the mail-in ballot, it makes sense. And, you know, for so many reasons, but, you know, in particular, one thing that Bryce, I think, was working with too, was how this will help increase participation with Montana's Native American community.
Yeah. I was just going to emphasize that he deliberately wants to put some of the focus on the Native American voting, and they have a rather unique situation, and he's well aware of it.
Right. So I think, the contrast between these two candidates is pretty stark.
You know, I mean, yeah. We're not talking about odd people here with particular agendas other than their normal, what we would associate with their party. But their distinctions between the parties is quite clear in this particular office.
But, you know, just one more thing because the voting issue is just really, really important to me and to all of us here at A Podcast Runs Through It. And, you know, the bottom line on voting is, if you're trying to prevent people from participating in voting, that's cheating. And basically, if you're using these old tactics, then you're saying to the electorate, it's okay. It's okay for me to win by cheating if that's what I have to do. But at the same time, we have to really think about that. I mean, if you cheated to win, did you really win? I think that, you know, and I'm not saying all Republicans here, and I would like to say at this point that I think there are conservative people who are appalled at this thing, who do not believe that cheating is an okay path to victory. But those are not the Republicans in power right now.
No, they are almost to a person dedicated to staying in power.
By whatever means.
By whatever means. And also outside of any ideological or particular binding by the fact that they are Republicans and they used to be in favor of or whatever. It's just right. Whatever it takes to stay in power.
Whatever it takes, yep.
So with that, the next office we want to discuss is the Montana Commissioner of Securities and Insurance, which is a mouthful. Most of us shorten it to State Auditor. But in actual point of fact, the Commissioner of Securities and Insurance is probably the main job. That particular position is in charge of regulating the state's insurance industry. And anybody who has insurance, whether it's health insurance or household insurance or corporate insurance or whatever it is, it goes through this office. They're also the regulator, the state government regulator of the insurance and securities industry, which includes, in this case, you know, stockbrokers and management funds and all that kind of stuff. So in that regard, they are an advocate for the citizens of Montana, or at least they're supposed to be. Then as an auditor, the state auditor, they also keep track of actual expenditures and behaviors of these various insurance organizations and securities groups. So they have a kind of monitoring and watchdog function as well. And it's a position that usually has several people watching what the commissioner does, okay? The Chamber of Commerce historically monitors what the auditor does. So the auditor's job, in a way, is quite, you know, sort of business-oriented or at least oriented in the respect of monitoring what business does. On the other hand, it can have, and this is where we get into the political give and take, they can have quite a lot of doing things for the consumer, consumer benefit, consumer watchdog of the insurance and securities industries. And this is where the position gets to be at its most political. And, of course, we should always add that the auditor does have a seat on the Montana Land Board. So, in particular, to management of state lands, the auditor has an equal position with all the other major state offices. So that, in a nutshell, is the Commissioner of Securities and Insurance, the auditor. Now, the two candidates that we're going to talk about today are Troy Downing, who's the Republican candidate, and Shane Morgeau, who is the Democratic candidate. And I'll start off with just giving you a kind of a thumbnail sketch for Troy Downing. Troy was born in 1967. And which means he's, 53 now. And he does in reserve, he has a home, a residence in Bozeman, in the Gallatin Gateway of Bozeman.
He's from California, though, isn't he?
Yes, originally California.
Yeah.
And his current business, his main business background is California. He was the CEO of AC Self Storage Solutions, based in Carlsbad, California. And currently also owns a distillery in Bozeman. The Wild Rye distilling business, and a small vineyard in Southern California. You could say that he does have his roots in California and has made quite a bit of money. He's one of the few campaigning state office campaigners who has put mostly his own money into this particular campaign. And he was noted during he did run for Senate. And in that race, he put in almost $700,000 of his own money. So you get the picture there. He is somebody who has earned his money elsewhere, has come to Montana, found it very congenial, and has decided to run for political office here. This is his second run, the first one being for senator back in 2018, which he came in, I think, at third place out of the four Republicans. So he fits the profile of a conservative, Trump-supporting candidate, one of those who brings their fortune to a relatively recent Montana home with a fairly obvious ambition to run for higher office. His issues, the ones at least that he has stated publicly, as you would expect, he's committed to lowering the costs of life-saving prescription medications, but without mentioning the Affordable Care Act or Medicaid or any of those things. He will fight for a transparency in government. He wants to streamline the regulatory environment, which you can read as, you know, cut out regulations, because that's how you streamline it. He would like to use the agency to foster, as he says, the culture of pro-business while continuing to be a staunch protector of Montana consumers. And along that line, he says he will hold bad actors accountable while getting the government off the backs of small businesses. So this is fairly typical Republican profile.
Right, right.
As a member of the land board, he promises his primary interest will be conservation and in entrepreneurship. And I'm not quite sure to read the last one.
I was going to ask you if you would explain entrepreneurship and the land board and what that connection could possibly mean.
Well, I mean, to be frank about it, it just means he's going to support people who are trying to develop it. In other words, taking land from the state lands and giving it to people to develop for various purposes. And how this squares off evenly with conservation, he's not clear. Doesn't say, basically. He does tell the fact that as an insurance commissioner, he will have had personal experience because he does, in his background, have a period when he was a securities agent, which we would call a stockbroker, I guess, by any other name. His work background is he was a research scientist at University Media Lab in New York, and he's primarily come from a digital information background, computer guy. He has mainly done technology for most of his work. He worked for time at Yahoo and became very involved with the founding of Yahoo, which it did not lead anywhere in particular. He was sort of bought out of that at about that time that he changed his job to his current one. So he has a business background, and that you would expect from a Republican candidate. And his position in Montana, though, is a little more, how shall we say it, colorful. He was charged with and has pled guilty to a number of hunting violations in the state of Montana. And I don't know, I don't need to go into a lot of detail.
Well, those were poaching violations, weren't they?
Yeah. Yes, they were. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And here in Montana, we call those violators. but I digress.
Yeah. But, you know, it's kind of a pattern. I think many people may have seen him mentioned in the magazines because he was out hunting with Donald Trump Jr.
Right.
And his connections to Trump are considerable. And has positioned himself as a strong supporter of President Trump. And I think you've...
Right, right. Here's a notable quote that I really like from him was, and I quote, "I was a late comer to candidate Trump," said Downing. "I struggled with that a lot, but I've come around on it. I truly believe because he has a love of country, I look at his agenda and I struggle to find something I disagree with."
Yeah, that's pretty clear.
Yeah, so, which, you know, I think, and I just have to interject here, that Troy Downing is also a veteran. He's a member, he was a veteran of the U.S. Air Force. He was in the Air National Guard. He's a helicopter pilot. And I think if he's struggling to find something that he could disagree with, he should maybe start with bounties on the heads of U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan.
To my knowledge, I don't believe he's issued any statement about that. That would not be unusual for Republican candidates of any color. So
there are none of the elected, the people holding office in Montana, or any of these candidates have issued a statement on that issue. And I've asked.
In any case, I think that's a fairly up-to-date thumbnail of his positions. And again, he is a Trump conservative.
Right. And a businessman.
So anyway, on to Shane Morajo.
Yes, Shane Morajo, who, and again, folks, if you would like to hear something a little more from Shane Morajo, we would point you to episode 14 of A Podcast Runs Through It. And this is Shane Morajo talking about his philosophy of being a proactive auditor.
Kind of left a little piece hanging out there earlier about why I decided to run. When I was carrying the childhood sex abuse statute of limitations legislation last session, when we had our hearing, it's one of those bills where, you know, you think everybody is kind of on the same page that, you know, if someone abuses or molests or hurts a child, you know, it shouldn't matter, you know, what time frame has went by. If the person can prove the case, they should have their day in court and they should have justice. That's how I feel. I feel like, especially when we know that science supports that, you know, the average person who's been abused doesn't come out until later in life, in their 40s, late 40s, early 50s. And, you know, I bring this story up because this does tie into the things that we can change at the state auditor's office. But, you know, the problem that I had with that bill was when I showed up for our hearing, there was a letter sitting on my desk from insurance companies opposing the statute of limitations bill. And to me, that just signals a significant flaw and issue in our system and with the way these companies think and work. And when they're willing to oppose legislation, putting their interest, financial bottom line ahead of, you know, children and people getting justice, I see that as a significant quandary and something that I'm not going to sit there and let happen. And so that's ultimately what motivated me to run. And so that said, one of the things I'm really committed to as state auditor is making sure that, you know, in cases of bad faith, investment fraud, or insurance companies that are defraud somebody or are taking advantage of people, I'm not going to just, you know, put a number up on my website and say, here's how many cases we have. I want to expend the resources to go after those bad actors. That's something that I don't think has been done. Whether it's, you know, there's been investigations and those sorts of things, but if there's a case where, you know, an attorney is pursuing a case, a clear-cut case against a bad faith actor, I'm not going to just sit there and wait for the result. Like, I'm going to be proactive in that case and make sure that we're going after those bad actors to make sure it doesn't happen again. I think one of the things that I'm committed to at the state auditor that's going to be different is I'm actually going to get out myself. I'm not going to just send people around. I'm going to get out across the state and tour the state to ensure people are educated on what current fraud schemes are, investment fraud schemes are, what insurance they should look as far as insurance, training people and educating them on insurance, because it's a difficult area to navigate, and also making sure that they obtain financial literacy education so that people can manage their money better, so that they can, you know, buy stocks and bonds and those sorts of things. So I just think that, you know, I'm going to be a consumer protection watchdog. You know, I'm putting people's interests first. That's always been the priority in running for this office. But, you know, actually being proactive and going after these case, you know, bad actor cases is a priority of mine as well.
So I think that says a lot. He's a candidate who sees this position as a consumer protection watchdog and will take a proactive approach to the job.
Yeah, and under the circumstances where our economy is having a lot of trouble, watching out for the insurance industry and watching out for the securities industry, stock market basically, is going to be important. It's not a small job. And having somebody in that position who actually wants to use it to help people, the average person, rather than do everything for business and development, I think it's really important. And Shane Marjo seems to be, you know, the kind of guy who has that right. He has the attitude you need right now.
Yep, yep, I agree. So with that, here's some background on Shane Marjo. He was born in Ronan and raised in Missoula. He's got a degree in forestry and conservation from the University of Montana and a JD from the University of Arizona. He was first elected to the Montana House in 2016. And in his second term, he was elected the House Minority Whip. And he's the position he currently holds right now in the Montana House. And one thing that Shane talked about at length in his episode was the part that he played in passing Medicaid expansion in Montana, which was something that the Democrats in Montana have been trying to do for years. And they did finally push that through in the last term. And that was a big focus of Shane's. He also believes in a bipartisan approach. He realizes that in Montana that, you know, you have to be able to work on both sides of the aisle. So that's sort of his starting point when he's working on legislation. And yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to break in and say that I'm not going to go through the long list, but he has initiated more legislation than almost anybody I've seen for the relatively short time that he's been in the legislature.
And exactly.
The breadth of legislation that he has, you know, put in is breathtaking, really. I mean, he's gone all the way from the bill you just mentioned to modernizing a claims and delivery law, which is relevant to the auditor's office. Revising laws relating to cryptocurrency, which is relevant to the investment part of it. He's established liability requirements for smart cars, revised the statute of limitations for victims, and I could go on and on, but a stunning alignment of laws and legislation that he's either promoted or has, you know, co-developed with some other legislators.
Right. Yeah, and he's also done a lot of work with the murdered and missing indigenous women legislation. And you know, one thing that I find that I really appreciated about when he was talking about his concept of what the auditor's position should be, it's, you know, his approach is that most people in the state don't know what the office is, and they don't know what that office can do for them. As a citizen of the state, he wants to take a proactive stance and make sure that you're aware of what this office can do for you.
I think you could characterize him as a consumer protection advocate.
Absolutely.
We don't have that kind of agency in Montana, but that basically is how he sees this job. And all of his quotes move in that way. You know, he said, I'll give one quick quote. He says, I will see creative ways to promote business growth by clarifying laws and regulations, and I will protect Montanans from investment fraud.
Right.
And so him, you're always going to get, I know how business is supposed to work. I'm a lawyer. I've been in business. I see things. But I also believe it has to be done within limits that protect the consumer.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is, you know, that's kind of refreshing from the auditor's position. I mean, normally people assume the office and then just sort of disappear into it. And, you know, some people disappear, period. You know, like missing in action in that job. So it's a kind of interesting to see someone who, again, wants to take the job, fill the job, and use it to make life better for Montanans.
Yeah, and I think you can make a very clear distinction. I don't even know if they would argue about it, that Troy Downing is in favor of doing what the Republicans do with business and so forth, which is pretty much give it free rein, and he will follow the Trump strictures on that. And on the other hand, Shane Morajot is an activist type of politician and who wants to use the agency, in this case the auditor's office, as an advocate for people, as well as a supporter of business and providing services for business.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, like these junk insurance policies that were, I think, and still are available for purchase in Montana. One of the jobs that the auditor does is to make sure that if anyone is selling insurance in Montana, that the insurance policy is valid and that it fits within the guidelines of the requirements by law.
Yeah, moving, the last piece I want to add is his position on the land board, because he's been pretty outspoken about that. Again, I'll give you a very brief quote. He just says, "I'm passionate about public land and conservation. I attended forestry school because I wanted to work in the outdoors. I have a deep respect for the land, and what we live in Montana is, as he says, among amazing public lands, and I will do everything I can to increase access and work with landowners to help them increase public access to public lands instead of fighting landowners as the current Republican-led majority on the land board does." And I think that's a very clear statement on his part. He comes from the conservation and a public access point of view on for the land board. And that's not where Troy Downing is going to be coming from. His interest is in the development and the business use of public lands.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, and it's just, you know, it's the, is what you're doing good for people, or is it good for certain people?
Who makes money out of it, in other words, yes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. All the people are just certain people.
Okay. On the one hand, you have a candidate, Shane Morajot, who has a considerable legislative background, personal experience in many of the aspects of consumer protection, and is a lawyer, whose obvious statement is that he's there to do public service. On the other hand, you have the candidate, Troy Downing, who is a more or less typical Trump conservative, with a strong business background, whose motivations for being the auditor are questionable. Make of that what you will. Well, Dixie, that concludes part one of our four-part Montana 2020 general election series. So this part one covered the offices of Secretary of State and the Auditor or Securities and Insurance Commissioner. And as we said at the top of the show, we want to emphasize that people should be looking at the entire list of statewide offices and their local offices, that this is not a vote for one or two positions. This is an important vote for a lot of offices and several different candidates. And it's a good idea to know what those offices are and who the candidates are. And that's what we're doing here, is trying to introduce both the offices and the candidates to you. Now, we have done our best to try to cover the issues involved, which are, I think you'll find if you listen, that the differences between candidates are extreme in this election. And we're facing a situation where we believe that it's necessary to elect people who are willing and able to use government to solve problems, big problems. We have a situation where we are going to endorse, and the reason we're doing that is because we feel that this particular candidate is more than qualified for the office. So on that basis, a podcast runs through it. We have talked among ourselves, and we are endorsing Bryce Bennett for Secretary of State. and for the Office of Auditor, which is the Securities and Insurance Commissioner, we are endorsing Shane Morajo. We feel that they are by far the most well-prepared and capable people of dealing with the problems that this state will face in the coming years, actually, because this coronavirus situation and the economic situation are not going to go away soon. Dixie, do you want to add anything to that?
Because of the COVID-19 situation, these candidates aren't going to be able to do the regular campaigning that they normally would do, you know, like meet and greets or other campaign events. So they're going to need our help getting their message out. So if you hear your friends or family or a first-time voter saying they don't know anything about the offices or candidates, we're hoping that you can point them toward this series, and we will help them become an informed voter.
Yeah, and I think everybody should realize this will not be your usual campaign. This will not be your usual election season. Yes, there will be ads. Yes, there will be some speeches, and there will be some meet and greet, but it's very limited. The coronavirus is going to make many of the usual things that we have in a campaign unavailable. And we think it's very important that people get involved with the process themselves and to involve other people as much as possible.
Right. And it can be a lot of fun.
So with that, we hope you'll join us for the part two of our Montana 2020 general election coverage. In that episode, we will be covering the Attorney General and the Governor. And believe me, there are a lot of issues and a lot of interesting things to listen to there. So we hope you'll join us in the future. I'm Nelson King and Dixie Hart saying thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us for part two.
And we want you to be safe, wear a mask, social distance, and wash your hands.
Wash your hands. Thank you. Thank you for listening, and bye for now.